Revelation and Concealment. There is nothing else in the world except the light of the Creator, and that which was created by the light, the person, who remains inside the light, and who can perceive this light, more or less, depending on the degree of congruence of qualities between that human being and the Creator. If the qualities of the person and of the light are not congruent, then that person is completely unable to perceive the light, or the Creator. At first, an individual is placed in the conditions of an explicit and complete domain of egoism known as our world. Only by means of his own efforts can that individual gradually bring up and cultivate in himself such a desire and necessity to perceive the Creator, to create a vessel for the light of the Creator, so that he will begin to perceive him. The efforts of a person should focus on an attempt to correct himself with all his strength until he sees the futility of his effort in attaining the desired goal. Then he should turn to the Creator with a prayer, asking for help in finding redemption from egoism and in uniting with the Creator. This process can take months and even years if the person undertakes this effort under the guidance of a teacher Kabbalist. Or it can take several lives or reincarnations, Gilgulim, if a person undertakes this effort on his own by way of suffering. Only the right efforts in the correct direction will produce the vessel of the soul within which the Creator will reveal himself to the human being. In the Kabbalah, the reasons behind people's actions are known as the fathers, whereas the consequences of actions are known as the sons, or the correct spiritual acts. One is not born because of one's own will. Spiritually, one is forced to be born to receive a soul, the light of the Creator, by the Creator through suffering. But one has the capacity to be born independently by means of the Kabbalah. One does not live because of one's own will. If one does not act or live in accordance with one's egoistic will, then one will receive a true eternal spiritual existence, which can really be called life. One does not die because of one's will. If one does not want to die spiritually, or to be in a state of spiritual death without a soul or without the light of the Creator, then one should not act in accordance with one's own will. The work in the middle line of the soul begins with the work in the right line, since there exists a prohibition of its use, a restriction, tzimtzum. The light of wisdom, or Or Chachma, shows egoism as bad, aviyot. A person feels that there is no worse act than to work for the sake of the self. But the person still possesses neither the desire nor the strength to work for the sake of others, that is, to give. Therefore, there's a need for the left line, which gives a person altruistic desires and strength. The spiritual organs of perception, just as our five senses, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, operate in accordance with a particular set goal. The effect of the light of wisdom causes a person to realize that there is no personal benefit in utilizing the five senses. That is, there's no point to working for his egoism. The absence of the desire to gratify oneself, which normally induces the five senses to operate, leads to a complete lack of energy to perform any act. That is, it leads to lethargy and inaction. An individual at this stage has not realized that the goal of his efforts can be the giving, that is, his actions can be altruistic. For this reason, there's a need for the influence of another spiritual quality known as the red light, the left line, or Malchut Mamutaketa Bina. This second quality is required to convince a person's desire to agree to work altruistically, or the qualities of Bina. Once the spiritual energy is received and the altruistic motion has begun, an individual begins to act with a combination of the qualities that derive both from the right and the left lines. As a result, that individual receives the light of the Creator into his new desires, the middle line, and thus the pleasure from the perfection ensues. If a person is ready to receive the power of faith and of altruism, then eventually that person will be able to receive the highest reason. The principle of rejecting self-gratification, which was adopted by one of the world's major religions, and the principle of attaining pleasure, which was chosen by another, both stem from the impure egoistic forces, or the kelipot, of the right and the left lines of the spiritual ascent. Thus, where the Kabbalah discusses the subject of placing limitations on oneself, it implies a preliminary stage of working on the self, making an attempt to reject the idea of self-gratification using one's own willpower. the roots of all different types of faith, of all spiritual tendencies, of all groups, and of all religions and philosophies can be traced to the various kalapot which surround the left and the right spiritual pure lines, which are sustained through the process of seizing or grasping, called ahiza, or through drawing nourishment, called yanika. But the goal of any task is to attain the middle line, to rise to the infinite that has no end or boundary, that is, to attain the perfection of the Creator that will not be limited by particular human qualities. In spiritual vocabulary, a desire is regarded as a place. The absence of desire is considered to be the absence of a place. This is similar to a situation when a person declares that he has no more space in his stomach for food, since that person has no more desire to eat. A spiritual place, that is, the desire of an individual to perceive the Creator, is known as the vessel, or the kli, of his soul, or Shekhinah. This vessel receives the light of the Creator, or the revelation of the Creator, also known as the soul of the person. The Creator himself is known as the Shochan. Since all our desires are permeated with our egoism, or our desire to receive, the light of the Creator is concealed. As egoism is gradually ejected from our desires, a greater place becomes available. An uncorrected desire is known as egoism. A corrected desire is called Israel. Once a place is vacated as a result of a corrected desire, the light of the Creator is revealed. But the Creator still continues to operate secretly in a manner concealed from us. The process of the revelation of the Creator that follows the correction and purification of our desires, places, or vessels, is perceived by us as the appearance of the light. In reality, however, no motion takes place, but rather, as in the process of developing a negative, the light gradually appears in our perception. Since we do not perceive the light itself, but only its effects on our vessel, we address the Creator by the name associated with His revelation, Shekhinah, but we can determine His essence only by the sensations and feelings that He invokes in us. For this reason, the revelation of the Creator is known as Shekhinah. If the Creator conceals Himself, then it is said that the Shekhinah is in exile. That means that the Creator is hidden. But if an individual has earned the revelation of the Creator, then it is known as the return from the exile. The varying degree to which the Creator reveals Himself to a person is called the soul, or neshama. As soon as a person is able to correct at least one of his desires into an altruistic one, that person receives an immediate perception of the Creator. Thus it is said that the human soul is part of the Creator. Once we reach the final stage of correction, the Creator will fill all our desires. That is, He will reveal Himself to the ultimate degree to which He planned to reveal Himself in His creations. All our desires were designed for this ultimate purpose at the very beginning of creation. Shekhinah is the root and sum of all individual souls. Each soul is part of the general revelation of the Creator. The revelation of the Creator is the expression of His desire to please the creations, since this is the way it is regarded by those who attain the perception of the Creator. We're unable to determine the answer to the question of what caused the Creator to wish to create us in order to please, because this question deals with the process that took place prior to the creation, whereas we can only comprehend those things that can be revealed to us, that is, those things that develop after creation. The initial stage from which we begin to comprehend the creation is the perception of pleasure that emanates from the Creator. For this reason, the goal of creation, the desire of the Creator to please, refers only to those creations that already perceive Him. All the questions that concern issues beyond this level are above our apprehension. Every individual must always remember that all human understanding and knowledge is derived solely from personal perception. The only thing that we are comprised of is our desire to be pleased. All the potential of our body and our intellect, all our capabilities, and all our progress are only for the single purpose of letting us receive pleasure from various objects, which we continue to invent, find, accept as necessary, fashionable, acceptable, etc. All this is done for the sole objective of being able to constantly receive pleasure. We cannot complain about the unlimited form of a desire to receive pleasure. It was sufficient for the Creator to generate but a single desire in order to induce human beings to feel like independent desiring beings who can behave independently on the basis of a single instinct, the instinct of maximizing personal pleasure. The process of maximizing pleasure takes place with the aid of all our faculties, intellectual, subconscious, physical, ethical, and many others, as well as with all levels of memory, ranging from the molecular, biological, and to the highest level of our intellect. Here's a simple example. A person loves money, but is willing to give up his entire fortune to a mugger when he's threatened with death. In this manner, the person exchanges one pleasure, for money, for an even greater pleasure, staying alive. One is incapable of performing an act unless one is sure that as a result of this act, he is going to be in a more advantageous position. It's irrelevant how the benefit will be conferred. What is crucial is that the resulting level of pleasure should be greater than the initial level. Only then can a person act. What, then, is the difference between the pleasure received from egoism, from getting, and the pleasure received from altruism, from giving? The significant difference is in the fact that when a person receives pleasure from egoism, the feeling of pleasure is invariably accompanied by a feeling of shame. But if one receives for the sake of the one that is giving, then no feelings of shame are present, and the pleasure is absolute. Since the original spiritual being, known as the common soul or the first man, was unable to undergo such a transformation of thought when it received the tremendous pleasure from the Creator, it was divided into 600,000 parts or souls. Every part, every soul, receives a small portion of the burden in the form of egoism, which it is required to correct. When all the parts are corrected, they will once again unite to form a common corrected soul. Such a state of the common soul signifies the end of the corrective process, known as Gemar Tikkun. For example, in our world, a person can refrain from stealing a small amount of money because it's an insignificant quantity of pleasure, and the fear of punishment as well as the feelings of shame prevail over the desire to steal. However, if the amount is sufficiently great, then the pull toward gratification is much stronger than the ability to withstand it. Thus, by dividing the soul into a multitude of parts, by separating every part into many successive stages of corrective phases where each phase compels the part to...
garb into a human body, and then by breaking every state of a human being into a number of ascents and descents undertaken in the quest to alter one's nature, the Creator generated the conditions of the freedom of choice that are necessary for overcoming one's egoism. If a person feels love for the Creator, he must immediately attempt to adjoin in himself the feeling of fear as well, in order to be sure that this feeling of love is not egotistic. Only if both fear and love are present is there perfection in an individual's aspiration to come closer to the Creator. The person who experiences a yearning for spiritual perception but does not perceive the Creator is filled with spiritual confusion and panic. Though he's given the aspiration to grasp the Creator from above, he's not ready to take the independent step forward toward the desired end. He waits to be sent a very strong desire from above, which will serve as a thrust forward and which will permit him to realize that all his feelings and circumstances are filled with the Creator's desire to attract the person's attention to himself and to prompt them to move closer to him. Then it's possible to detect the Creator's address to each of us. But it is for this reason that each individual sees the world in a very personal way and gives a very unique interpretation to all that takes place around him. The rule that there are as many points of view as there are people epitomizes the fact that each of us is very unique. Paying attention to his own feelings, an individual can begin a dialogue with the Creator according to the principle that every person is a shadow of the Creator. Just as the shadow moves in correlation to the motion of the individual, and all the motions of the shadow just repeat the motions of an individual, similarly, the inner motions of a person, one's desires, one's aspirations, one's perceptions, one's spiritual essence, and one's outlook on life repeat the motions or the desires of the Creator. Thus, if a person suddenly experienced a desire to perceive the Creator, that person must immediately recognize that this desire did not result from some of his actions, but rather from the fact that the Creator took a step towards this person, so that the person should experience a pull, an attraction to him. In the beginning of the path, the Creator uses every appropriate opportunity to communicate with the person by rousing in that person a longing and an anguish for the spiritual perceptions. But every time the Creator grants an individual a pull towards the spiritual, he expects an equal reaction from the individual's side. Therefore, if a person understands that the vigor with which he yearns to perceive the Creator is equal in strength to the vigor with which the Creator wants to bring that person closer to himself, the person should try to develop and strengthen in himself these feelings so as to advance towards the Creator until he can finally cleave to him in all his desires and qualities. But when a person is still at the beginning of his path, he neither senses nor understands the Creator. After making a number of unsuccessful attempts to advance towards the Creator, it suddenly appears to him that while he wants to draw close to the Creator disregards him. And a person, instead of increasing his yearnings to the degree which is required to attach himself to the Creator, begins in his heart to blame the Creator for ignoring him. He becomes angry and completely forgets that the Creator wants him to exactly the same extent, and for this reason, he gave him such yearnings towards him. And as long as that person does not have complete faith in the oneness of the Creator, he will inevitably repeat his mistakes time after time, until the Creator makes him realize that all his desires for the Creator he received from the Creator himself. And he will accept the required number of efforts of the person and will help him by revealing himself to him, by showing him the full true picture of the worlds and of himself. A person can only attach himself to the Creator under such a circumstance that he directs joyfully all his yearning, and this is called with all the heart. That is to say, even those desires which are not required to be brought into an equivalence of form with the Creator. If the person can completely suppress all his egoistic desires, which were unveiled to him before, and at the same time feel happiness in his heart, he establishes conditions conducive for the filling of his heart with the light of the Creator. The most important aspect in the task of self-improvement is reaching a point where one finds joy in actions that are gratifying to the Creator, because all that is done for the sake of oneself brings one away from the Creator. Therefore, all his efforts must be directed towards attaining pleasantness in addressing the Creator, and towards acquiring sweetness in thoughts and feelings about him. When a person feels empty, it's an appropriate time to search for the grandeur of the Creator, and to find support in him. The more he feels himself lowly and the Creator great, then to this degree he is able to rise after he requests the Creator to save and alleviate him from this situation. This elevation is brought about by the Creator revealing his greatness to him, and this is in order to give him the strength to move forward. In a condition like this, a person is in need of the Creator and his help, since his own reason pulls him in a completely different direction. Therefore, the feelings of emptiness are given precisely in order that a person should feel with it the perception of the Creator's greatness, which is called faith. A righteous person is one who, in all that he feels, be it bad or good, justifies the actions of the Creator regardless of the feelings he experiences with his body, heart, and reason. By justifying all sensations that are sent to him by the Creator, it is as if he takes a step forward towards the Creator, which is called by the name of right step. Under no circumstances does he close his eye on the true state and feelings, regardless of how unpleasant they may be, and even if he does not understand why such difficult situations as these are required, nonetheless, he does not try to annul them. Acting in this manner, he, so to say, takes a left step forward. Perfection in spiritual growth consists of the fact that a person constantly advances forward, alternating the two aforementioned conditions. An absolutely righteous person is one who justifies all actions of the Creator, both towards himself and all other creations. That is to say, an individual who has attained the possibility to perceive all sensations outside of the limitation of his own egoistic wishes has already separated from them and wants only to be happy in giving. In such a state, a person cannot experience spiritual downfalls, since all that happens to him is not evaluated from the position of his own gain. Thus, anything that happens, happens for the good. However, since the goal of the Creator in the creation is not in this, but rather in that the created beings should benefit specifically in their own feelings, the achievement of the level of a righteous person, this is not the final state for man. Therefore, after a person achieves the level of the righteous, he must gradually begin to restore to himself his egoism that he destroyed at the time that he achieved the level of the righteous. That same egoistic desire that the righteous person brought back to himself, he can add to the desire to make the Creator happy that he acquired through his spiritual work. And because of this, not only is he able to give, he's also able to receive pleasures in this returned egoistic desire, but with the intention to give happiness to the Creator. This situation can be compared to an altruist of this world who longs to do good for others since he was born with these characteristics and did not receive them from the Creator as a reward for his work on himself. It is as if he doesn't want anything for himself, since his egoism was created in such a way that he gets enjoyment from bestowing good on others, and acts in this way to fill his ego and is not able to act differently. It's also reminiscent of a situation where a person is a guest at a friend's house. The greater the appetite and the pleasure with which he takes all that is offered to him, the more satisfaction he gives to the one that offers, whereas if a person were not hungry, he would not be able to please his friend. But since by receiving pleasure, the one who receives begins to experience feelings of shame, he may attempt to decline what is offered to him. If he declines enough times, he'll begin to feel that by accepting the offered delicacies, he does his host a favor. Hence, all feelings of shame will vanish, and pleasure will be experienced to the full extent. In spiritual sensations, there's no self-deception. That is, a pretense that a righteous person does not want to receive pleasure for his own sake. In earning levels of righteousness, he, with the help of the Creator, who replaces his egoistic nature with an altruistic one, truly refuses all egoistic pleasures and aspires only to benefit the Creator. But realizing that the Creator is given pleasure only when his creations are delighted by the pleasures that emanate from him, pleasures that are not belittled or destroyed, a righteous person is once again forced to return to his egoism, but with a different goal, to experience pleasure for the sake of the Creator. In the end, the Creator and the individual completely converge in their intentions and actions. Each one attempts to gratify the other, and through this gains pleasure. There are no limitations in getting pleasure in this manner. On the contrary, the higher the experienced sensation of pleasure, the higher the spiritual level. In addition, there is also pleasure from the comprehension of infinite strength, power, and might without any concern for oneself. Therefore, the level of a righteous person is not sufficient for the fulfillment of the goal of creation. The begetting of pleasure from the light which emanates from the Creator is crucial for the correction of our intentions, the reasons for which we seek pleasure. The attainment of the level of the righteous person only permits us to rid ourselves of the feeling of shame that we experience when we receive pleasure from the Creator. As much as egoism constitutes the nature of a person in this world and altruism is considered to be a utopian notion, they are perceived as opposite by those who are found in the realm of the spiritual world. The difficulties arise because of the concealment of the Creator. A person receives pleasures only when he fulfills his desires, but the Kabbalah teaches that this is evil, not good of him. The individual does not understand why this is so, since he can perceive no pleasure in suffering, and yet he must still believe that it is good for him. Thus, every action or thought in an individual produces a multitude of deliberations. Moreover, the closer he is to the entrance of the spiritual world, the more complex the situation becomes. Only one truth becomes evident. There are many thoughts in the heart of a person, but only the advice of the Creator will be established. The difference between a person that wants spiritual elevation, that is to acquire spiritual characteristics like the Creator, and a person who fulfills his will for a payment as a result of the education he receives, is in this, that the latter one has faith in rewards and punishment, and for this reason he fulfills the will of the Creator. The Creator is for him like an employer who pays a salary. The person's like a worker who does not care about the employer, but rather his salary, reward and punishment in this world or in the world to come. This gives him strength to observe the commandments, and he doesn't ask himself why he fulfills the will of the Creator, because he believes in rewards. However, one who wants to carry out the will of the Creator, not to receive payment in exchange, constantly asks himself why he does this. If this is the will of the Creator, why does the Creator need this? He's perfect and complete. And what do our actions add to him? It would appear that all of this is just for the person himself. And then he would begin to wonder, what does he gain from fulfilling the will of the Creator? Little by little, he comes to realize that the reward for this fulfilling is his own self-correction, until he receives from above his neshama, or his soul, the light of the Creator. The Kabbalah teaches that evil inclination, or egoism, appears to sinners as a wisp of hair, a small object, while to the righteous person it appears as a high mountain. The Kabbalah must be applied as if it were just referring to one person, in whom the characteristic thoughts and desires are called by various names of our world. Therefore, under the category of sinners and righteous men are described the states of one individual. Concealment refers not only to the concealment of the Creator, but also to the concealment of a person from himself. We do not really know ourselves, our true characteristics. These are revealed to us only to the degree to which we're able to correct them. In this matter, a person is comparable to a container of garbage. The more he searches within himself, the greater the stench he perceives. For this reason, the Creator shows those who are only at the beginning of the path, the sinners, that their egoism is not so formidable that it can be overcome, so that they won't give up hope at the sight of the work that is not appropriate to the task. For those who are already on the path, the Creator reveals to them a greater measure of evil or egoism that is within them to a degree that's appropriate to the feeling of the importance of the correction and the power of resistance to egoism that they've acquired. Finally, to the righteous men, that is, to those who desire to become righteous men, the Creator reveals the full magnitude of their egoism. Consequently, it appears to them as a high, unsurpassable mountain. Thus, as a person progresses, the evil within him is revealed more and more, in an amount that would be possible for him to correct. Because of this, if a person suddenly finds within himself something negative that is new, he must remember that if he has become aware of it, this means that he has the possibility to overcome it, and he should not fall into despair, but instead ask the Creator to correct him. For example, when a person begins to work on himself, he feels only 10 grams of pleasure from all the pleasures of the world that surround him, and he'll be able to dispense with them. Afterwards, the Creator gives him a taste for 15 grams of pleasure. In the beginning of his work, as a result of the additional taste for the pleasures, he feels himself more lowly from the feeling of being drawn to things which did not attract him before this, and weaker because of the difference between the strength of his attraction to the pleasures and the power of his own resistance to them. However, in a situation like this, a person must say to himself that since the Creator added 5 grams of pleasure to the taste of the pleasures he receives from the world around him, and afterwards, when he tries to correct himself, he sees that he is not able, he has to request strength from the Creator. When he receives the strength to overcome 15 grams of pleasure, afterwards, he receives an additional 5 grams of taste for the pleasure. Once again, feels that he's weaker and lowly, and this process continues. Transforming egoism to altruism. One who wants to experience the true taste of life must pay special attention to the spiritual point that is found in his heart. Everyone has a point in the heart. However, in general, it does not show signs of life and does not illuminate, and because of this, the person is not aware of it. In such a situation, it is called a black point. This point is a seat of the soul. The characteristic of this point is altruistic, because it is a seed for the future vessel of the soul and its light, a portion of the Creator. However, in its beginning state, it is hidden from a person, since the person does not appreciate it, and for this reason, this state is called galut, or exile, of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. Such a state of the soul is called a point. If a person elevates the importance of that point above his own eye, above his head, like the crowns above the letters, in this way, he makes it comparable to a crown on his head rather than dust at his feet. Then light is emitted from the center into the body, and from this potential center, it becomes the source of strength for spiritual elevation of the person. Hence, instead of all our appeals for help from the Creator, our only prayer should focus on the realization of the importance of perceiving the Creator as a means to our improvement for His sake. The ability to perform acts of goodness or altruistic acts is not a means but a reward for the person who wishes to resemble the Creator. The sequential order of the process by means of which a person shifts away from egoism and toward the spiritual world can be found in the Bible as the Exodus from Egypt. The appearance of vessels of bestowal in a person is called the Exodus from Egypt. However, altruistic desires, vessels of bestowal, mean that a person should rather follow the path of faith than the path of knowledge. However, to exit from egoism is only possible upon feeling spirituality. Perceiving the Creator, the light of wisdom, splits the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, and in the middle a person passes over the boundary between two worlds. In order to do this, the Creator performs a miracle. He gives a person the light of wisdom, or Or Chachma, despite the fact that the person does not possess the appropriate vessel to receive the light. With the help of this light, a person breaks the barrier, or Machsam, and afterwards, when the miracle passes, a person who has once entered the spiritual world does not return to the level of our world. In the next stage, a person must acquire a vessel for receiving the light of wisdom. And this is accomplished on the difficult path of advancement in the spiritual desert until he merits receiving the light of the Creator by ascending to Mount Sinai. In this state, the observance of the commandments occurs by virtue of faith above knowledge, when a person places his own thoughts and wishes below the faith. A so-called lesser state, Katnot, that is, Malchut, in this state, connotes only the center, or Keter, or crown. In such minimal presence, the evil egoistic disposition cannot sway a person because he has placed faith above knowledge and perception. This is considered to be a lesser state because in it a person does not take into account egoism since he has no strength to counter it. This situation can only be compared to a case in which a person unable to consume only a small amount of food refuses the entire portion altogether. But a bond with the light of the Creator can only transpire if a person is able to receive that light into himself, that is, to work altruistically with his own egoism. As the person transforms his egoism into altruism, the altered vessel will be filled with the light of the Creator. That state of a person's spiritual vessel, or of a corrected egoistic kli, is called the greater state, Gadlut. Malchut descends from Keter to the level at which a person can withstand the pull toward self-gratification and be able to receive, but not for the sake of his own pleasure. To fully receive the light of the Creator, to perceive the Creator to the full extent of one's ability and to completely cling to Him is possible only by fully utilizing one's egoism for the service of altruism. Such a state is known as the end of the correction process and is the goal of creation. All our perceptions are strictly subjective, and the view of the world open to us entirely depends on our inner spiritual and physical states, our mood, etc. But in spiritual perception, sensations comprise reality itself, since a person apprehends the presence in accordance with his spiritual position. Our world is considered to be our immediate sensation. The future world is that which will be felt in the next instant. There's no dimension of time, but only a change of sensations. If a person perceives everything by faith above knowledge, then he lives entirely in the future. For example, in our everyday life, a person who owns a business systematically assesses the outcome of his work and his profit. If he sees that his expenses and efforts do not justify themselves, that is to say, that the profit is less than the investment, then he closes down the business and opens a new one, because the anticipated profit stands before his eyes. Under no circumstances does he deceive himself, but he assesses clearly his benefit in the form of money, honors, fame, tranquility, and so on, in such a form that he wants his profit to be. Then why doesn't a person sum up the general outcome of his life, for instance, once a year? For what purpose did he live and spend a year? Yet if he deals even slightly with his spiritual development, then why does he begin to ask himself about every single moment? Our world is a world of falsehood. And for that reason, the body itself does not want to face these questions, because it cannot provide answers to them. In truth, what can it answer to a person as the year comes to an end, or as the end of life itself approaches? All passes, the good and the bad, and what is he left with? Why has he worked for the needs of his own body? There's no answer, because there's no reward for the life that passed. And because of this, the body does not permit us to ask these questions. Spirituality, on the other hand, since it is true, and the spiritual reward is eternal, poses the question of this spiritual reward to a person, with the aim of arousing him to an even greater benefit from his effort, so that he'll correct himself to a greater degree and will receive a greater eternal reward. Why then does the Creator give a person false preoccupations with the life of this world? The process of creating a spiritual vessel is very complex, and therefore lengthy. In his perceptions, a person must experience the entire spectrum of worldly egoism, that is to say, to experience it all, in all of its lowliness, and to taste all of its false pleasures down to the lowest levels of egoism. During his work, as he approaches the boundary between the physical and the spiritual realms, he accumulates the experiences until the spiritual realm is reached. This process of gaining experience does not occur merely in a single revolution of life in this world. All information is stored in the soul and is exhibited at the appropriate moment. But until then, the process of acquisition is hidden from the person, and he only experiences his present state. Since our entire essence centers on the desire to gain pleasure, the Creator gives us life known as falsity to those who are not ready for the spiritual ascent, so that they would have a source of strength in order to live. There is a light that brings amelioration of the desire's vessel, and there is a light that brings knowledge and pleasure. In essence, it is one and the same light of the Creator, but a person extracts from the light that particular quality which he wants to use for spiritual aims. Abandon evil and do good, the first stage of the correction, is called the realization of evil, since as soon as a person becomes convinced that egoism is his most dangerous and deadly enemy, he will hate it and abandon it. A situation like this is unbearable. That is to say, it's not necessary to run away from evil, but just to feel what the evil really is, and afterwards the separation from the harmful will occur instinctively. The realization of what is evil occurs precisely under the influence of doing good acts, that's to say, while observing the commandments and learning Kabbalah, because when a person is under the influence of these, he begins to long for the spiritual perfection, and he begins to sense what exactly is preventing him from spiritual life. The concealment of the Creator from the person which is felt as suffering, questions about the divine providence, lack of confidence and trust in the Creator, and interfering thoughts, all of these are called night. The revelation of the Creator to the person, which is felt as pleasure, trust in the divine supervision, a sense of being connected to the eternal, understanding of the upper sources of all laws of nature, all of these are called day. During this state of concealment of the Creator, a person must work towards acquiring faith in the fact that such a state is to his benefit, because in all states the Creator does only what is most useful and beneficial for a person. If a person were ready to receive the light of the Creator without causing harm to himself, undoubtedly the Creator would reveal himself to him. But since a person is not able to take control over pleasures that he already feels, the Creator does not give such immense pleasures like this from his light, since the person would immediately become a slave to them and would never be able to escape from the chains of his egoism. For this reason, he would become even further distanced from the Creator. The value and the beauty of things, objects, events, and categories is determined by each generation anew, and by the majority. Each generation rejects the norms of the previous one. Therefore, there are no absolute norms. Rather, the majority in each people and each generation dictates its own norms, so that the rest can follow them. For that reason, there always exist new trends and new role models to aspire to. Therefore, all that is dictated by the majority is considered to be beautiful, while those that uphold these values receive respect and honors. Consequently, a person is willing to devote great efforts in order to attain that on which the society places great value. It's for this reason that it is so difficult to acquire spiritual qualities, since the majority does not hold this aim in high esteem, unlike the current trends. In truth, is it so very important to apprehend the spiritual? In fact, spirituality is exceedingly important. If this is so, then why does the Creator keep it hidden? The answer is that in order that we should not spoil it, a special trick was formed, which is called concealment. This prevents all of the greatness of the spiritual world from being seen, since a person's not able to take control over feelings that he's already felt, as explained above. And since it is now hidden from him, a person is only able to rely on faith concerning the immense importance of perceiving the Creator. However, according to the majority opinion, the value of spiritual appreciation amounts to zero. Thus, it is loathed practically by everyone. This process occurs in spite of the fact that it's quite evident that the standards of beauty, order of priorities, norms of behavior, and laws of society are determined by contemptible personalities who constantly change their principles, thus proving that they lack substance and that their norms are groundless and false.